particular TR for our ministry to one another in the full life of the congregation. The specific focus we've been getting through the seminar has been on our children and our young people, middle school students, high school students, young adults, college age students. So we've been thinking through the whole matter as, you know, how does the Lord look at his own church? Therefore, how should we look at the church? And then what are some practicalities about what that means? And really thinking through incorporating children and young people into the full life of the church. One of the statements that we've kind of been working with through the seminar has been that children and young people do not merely make up the church of tomorrow, help to make up the church of tomorrow, but they in fact are the church of today. And so how important that is then to adjust our own expectations, our own sense of responsibilities, our expectations of children and youth, to be growing disciples in the body of Christ, to be growing as those who are increasingly, and think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Luke 2, 52, that he grew in favor with God and man, and grew in stature. That notion is not merely his physical maturation. Of course it is. He grew as a young boy and so on and so forth. But the fact as well that he grew, and that's for the body of Christ. We grow, and our children grow, and our young people grow, and grow up into the body of Christ, and we want to treat them with that honor and then dutiful expectations and so on and so forth. So we've been looking at those things, and I thought this morning with our time is to give more focus, more narrow focus now to parenting. And we're going to try to get to a parable, the parable of the talents, and we'll try to get there. I mean, we'll get there. We probably won't get too far into it, but I wanted to get us there. Let me open in prayer, and then I have a few introductory comments. I think there's a handout that Bill was getting out, so we'll have about 30 of them. Hopefully there's enough to get around. And I do have some introductory things to say as we jump into this whole concept of parenting. And what we'll cover, will be helpful. Again, little types on up to the bigger types. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to be with us. Oh, gracious God, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you are our Father through your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have sent for us. We pray now that by the Holy Spirit, you would be our help, you would be our strength, please guide us. We pray your blessing upon the other classes that are meeting. Be with our boys and girls of Trinity Church here. Be with our teachers. Lord, may you impart your grace, your wisdom, your correction, your comfort, your challenge, all according to your good purposes, your wise and wonderful ways, your marvelous doings in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We ask your blessing here with us now. Please give us that ability, Lord, to be humble and to learn of you and to take your word in. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We have been working with this geometric shape, triangle, throughout the morning yesterday. And I'd like to have a few comments, I'd like to present a few comments here in terms of parenting, these introductory observations on the handout. And we want to get focus to recover in the first place the very Word of God, and more narrowly now with an eye on parents and parenting and the institution of family is the Fifth Commandment. I've quoted here on your handout the question, or a question and answer, from that section in the larger catechism, the Westminster Larger Catechism, one of the documents that would make up our secondary standards regarding the commandment. So you might turn there real fast. While you're turning there, let me just go ahead and open to Exodus 20, just to read that real fast for us. 20:12, honor your father and mother and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. One of the questions at this juncture in the Westminster Larger Catechism, who are meant by father and mother in the Fifth Commandment? By father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. When we talk, first of all, in some introductory fashion about the institutional home, particularly the mandate and charge about parenting, we need to recover the fifth commandment. We need to recover its application and to have the set standard, God's appointed agency of parents in the home, parents in the biological covenantal home. And this is where we begin. This is the standard that we are reminded of. But just a couple of quick comments about this. The fifth commandment, as we understand the commandments, the Ten Commandments, the fifth is the head of the second half of that law, of those ten words that commonly refer to them as the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. The first four direct our attention and application to the Lord, to have no other gods before us, not to make any images, and so on and so forth. Directions to God. The fifth begins the head of directives for man, the manward commandments. As we think about recovering the institution of homes, we think about recovering the application of parenthood in our homes, we have to elevate it. We have to be reminded that we come here to the Word, and the fifth commandment is the head. It's the top of now the manward commandments. We should have that in our minds in terms of the horizontal function. The vertical function is commandments 1 to 4. The horizontal function in God's will for our lives, being remade in Jesus, being remade over by the Spirit's work to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of our sins, and now to serve the Lord, knowing His will, the Ten Commandments, the last five, with the top one here being the fifth, the last six, the top one being here the fifth. It's the head. And so think about that, the elevation that that makes it for us, recovering that elevation. Just as the first four are opened with God, now the last six were opened toward manhood with the parents. And that's why Bible teachers then make that connection for us. Parents stand in the place of God. So just as God is going to unfold His will regarding our vertical relationship with Him and the church's vertical relationship with Him, so now God's going to unfold to us His will for our lives, and that horizontal application, but it begins here with that lofty place the parents have. They mediate God to others. So when it comes to murder, adultery, stealing, covetousness, etc., you see, that's where we begin. We begin with the parental charge. So we need to recover that application. It doesn't matter. That's why the catechism here, that's why I put it. It doesn't matter if we're in the family, the church, or in the commonwealth, the state. All those horizontal relationships in family, church, and state begin here with that head of this commandment. Some have referred to this commandment as the hinge commandment. What God privilege, what God responsibility. So, introductory thoughts about that. We're just raising again the standard. And we're the church. You know, we're the professing church here at Trinity Church in Newburgh. We're the professing church. That's our charge. That's the model that we are to be about. That's our ambassadorship as we are seeking to live in this community. As parents, we cling to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing we're walking on that hinge commandment. And that's just elevated as a model and to speak witness to those around us and so on and so forth. Number two, in thinking about introductory materials on parenting, is I'm going to drop down to number three on your outline, but it'll be my number two to speak about first. Number three is to recover the application of the gospel that God delights in weakness. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a review from yesterday for those that attended yesterday. But as we think about the charge of being parents, we've just spoken about the lofty nature of that charge. Lofty nature of being a parent for the Lord with the commandment in view. But now we think about recovering this matter of weakness in our parenting. And And this is the other, I'm going to just make it a W to keep it consistent. This is the other aspect of the triangle, the standard of the word. Our theme this morning is parenting. We need to recover the gospel, where in the gospel, God delights. He delights in weakness. We spoke of it this way yesterday, so let me just start with review. Moms and dads that are here this morning, this is great encouragement for us. Grandparents are here this morning. This is great encouragement for us, grandparents. If there is a place in Scripture where God is very plain and very clear about where He delights in His own appointed way, very plainly revealed in the Bible, to where He's the God who works reversals, He's the God who takes the weakness of men to what? Display strength. It is in this appointed matter of connecting with, being involved with, the deathbed of our homes, the charge as parents to nurture, to raise our children, train them up in the Lord, that appointed landscape, that territory where we know that He's at work, it's in the place of working with children, with boys and girls, nurturing children, nurturing young people. Why? Because we have the repeated theme through Scripture. God is pleased to take the young Joseph in the book of Genesis. God is pleased to take the young David in the Samuel sections of history. A young 17-year-old boy with a giant Goliath in his face, before whom he sits. God is pleased to use Daniel and three young friends there in Babylon. Such testimony of the rapid cause of being faithful to the Lord in the midst of darkness all around them, Babylon, the darkness all around them. Josiah, 7 years old, made a king. Mentioned yesterday, Mary, the mother of our Lord, young gal. Why is God repeatedly taking the Timothys of the Bible? Because God is going to show it's not by man's strength, it's not by the strength of a man, of the legs of a man, not the strength of the legs of a horse. But if we're going to boast, and if we're going to glory, if we're going to glory in the Lord, and God is pleased to use weakness. And children are repeatedly brought to us in the Scriptures as being those who are weak, those who are frail. They are dependent. Jesus told us, unless we become like children, we cannot become and see, can't see the kingdom, can't be served in the kingdom. There's warning after warning. Think of the Pharisees, how He warned them. Matthew 23, woe to you scribes, you hypocrites. You place these burdens on My people. Man-made laws, all these fleshly boasts that you are about, and you neglect the weightier things of the law. The point is, Jesus is concerned about oppressing His church, His people. And that fits well with children. That's why He's going to tell us. You sin with your eye, cut it out. You sin with your arm, cut your arm off. Any of you, He's saying, I'm stretching, but any of us, He's saying, that would walk in lawlessness and particularly be oppressive and tyrannical to little ones. Better than that man that even born, better than that man that had that huge stone around his neck tossed into the sea than to cause one of my little ones to suffer. The dominant theme of Scripture, God delights in weakness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is there continuing to repeat it. He says, I know nothing in chapter 2, early part of chapter 2, I know nothing but Jesus Christ has been crucified. At the end of chapter 1, he's saying, not many of you who are wise, not many of you who are noble, not many of you who are known for skill and who you are in society. No, God chose the weak things. He chose the things that are despised of the world. Why? Because He makes Himself known, manifests Himself through weakness. Here's the encouragement, parents. If God has told us over and over and over again that this is where He's going to be at work, you are lined up exactly where you need to be. Delight in being a parent, as hard as it is, as challenging, as privileges, and you know, I know you guys. Hey,
when I've got I've got six of them. When those little squirts are on the rug there, man, I'd come home and tell Peggy, how do you get anything done? What joy and delight those little guys are, you know?
Really? You guys remember that?
They're just so fun.
So all the privileges, all the responsibilities that we have as parents, be reminded that this is the very place where God has said, I am at work. You're going to have frustration there. You're going to have disappointment. You're going to have challenge. The physical tired and the energy of caring for the little ones. But he's saying, that's exactly where I work. And oftentimes when I am with parents and talking with parents, I always encourage them, even as we get to Matthew 25, a quick second here, parenting is endurance. Parenting is perseverance. But know that God is with you, and this is his appointed means, this is his appointed place of working. He shows himself powerful in this very place. So you're right where you need to be. Of course you are by the mandate in charge. I never want to discount it. But by way of experiential encouragement, you're right where you need to be, because God has told us this is where he's at work with little ones. And he's going to show himself powerful. Okay, number three. It's recovering the biblical application of worship. If we're going to be thinking about parenting, it's recovering the biblical application of worship. This is the standard, the Word of God. This is the place where we all live, our situations in our homes, in the church. The display of weakness, let's align ourselves right where God has he's made it plain for us. The cross displays the power. That which is weak displays the power of the Lord. He delights in that through his Son, Jesus. And this is the area of skill. Romans chapter 12. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Fast. One reason why we pick out worship is because the gathered assembly, I was going to talk more about this in Ephesians 6, we will not get there today, but the gathered assembly for worship has a tremendous bearing on our parenting endeavors and our parenting enterprise. Parenting, biblically, is situated in the assembly of the church. In Ephesians, God addresses parents, particularly fathers, don't exasperate your children. And the church has a claim on the home. I'll be more even faithfully accurate. The Lord himself, through his promised workings, through the head of the home to children, in that sense, he has a claim on our children and the institution of the home. The Word, and we're going to see how worship is to inform our parenting. We launch into parenting through the opening of the Word and the worship with her and God's people and the worship with the Lord's Word and sacraments. We baptize our kids. We walk into the door of parenting as parents, responsible with that covenantal charge, biological charge, and we walk in the door as parents because there's a church focus to where we complement one another. We supplement one another. We're modeling for each other. Now here, I want to give specific focus to worship. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, notice that's in the plural. We typically look at 1 and 2 of these passages in a very individualistic way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, you assembled ones there in Rome, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is a great diving board into the rest of the letter. We are often told by Bible teachers that chapter 12 begins the more everyday living, practical living section of Romans. And it opens here on this note of worship and the world at hand. The Romans are being reminded our response to the gospel, the God and his gospel of grace, is to live in that grace now, to walk and practice that grace now, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 of Romans. a few observations. He opens here on worship in verse 1 and the world, verse 2. Worship, simply put, is a place for disciple making. Do we want to know how to be transformed with the renewing of our minds? Be in the assembly of God's people. I mean that literally. 11 a.m. in North America is the most important place for parents to be. 11 a.m. with our liturgy is the most important place to be for our parents. He tells us, what is our dutiful, glad response to grace? Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. The assembled place of God's people for all of life, the rest of 12, Romans 13, 14, 15, 16, all of life, all the practical subjects are going to start coming around now. If worship here is our main circle we're talking about, he's got a circle here of giftedness in the body of Christ as we go on in 12. He's got a circle here about peacemaking and those who would persecute you. Not to take revenge on your own practical living. We get down to talking about government and their lawful place and taxes. We get some summary words about loving your neighbor. We're down here about the weak brother. All these practical subjects. It is worship. And if we get down here to love, and he does quote the man who were commandments, don't see you. Not commit adultery. He's going to do that at the end of 12. And he's going to sum it up by saying, love your neighbor, parents. Love your children. Children, love your parents. Love. He's going to have all these practical subject areas. There is a connection with worship, with our liturgy, and with life. Don't be conformed to the world here, but be transformed. How? Knowing his perfect and acceptable will is to come and give up self. And particularly now, all kinds of subjects begin to open up for us. This very practically. Where do we learn courtesies of greeting? Grace to you and peace from God our Father. The liturgy. Where do we learn respect? God is the Lord. We are men humble before him at 11 a.m. Where do we learn generosity? Let's now receive the tithes and the offerings. Where do we learn the law of the tithe? Where do we learn about generosity to one another in the home and generosity out in the world to help the weak and the poor? Where do we learn about cheerfulness? Let's sing the hymns and the songs. Where do we learn about the tongue? Let our words be few. God is in our midst. Where do we learn about discernment? Let us preach the word. How do we train our children about public, popular media? It's the discernment from the word. How do we learn about defending the faith, the word? How do we learn about logic and oratory? It's the word preached, the office of the preacher. Where do we learn about evangelism? The word preached. Where do we learn about rest? It's the Sabbath day. Come and rest. Where do we learn about work? I often tell folks in Grants Pass, keep your heart on. Get your tool belt on your heart that we come to work. 11 a.m., we punch the clock, and they're coming to work. We're here to work. There's a great article in one of the recent, well, not too recent, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals magazine, Reformation has gone, Reformation Day. The office of the member, the office of the member and his calling is to come to worship and work. We come to work. Where do we learn about speaking with our voices, both with oratory and the preaching and our recitations one to another? Where did the church teach in the world about reading? We read the scriptures, and the pastor or the bishop would present the catechetical lessons, and the people of God would respond. All not by accident. Paul starts here. Where are we going to be transformed? It's going to be through our parenting. Where do we learn that, yes, God, you're the Lord of my children. They are. Your name is upon my children. Where do we learn about the promises of God about our children? Preach the word. People of God in the community of God's people. Where do we learn about hospitality? Let's come to the table, brothers and sisters. God is the hospitable God. Where do we learn courtesies and manners about eating and drinking? We eat and drink rightly. Where do we learn about peacemaking?
Don't take it into your own hands. Leave room for God. He's the just. We're not about peacemaking. It's when the church is carrying out church discipline in the worship of God. I cannot think of one area where worship and the skills that we are about, literally, why do we do what we do in worship? Because we're disciple-making. We're disciple-making with skill. And parents, we need to recover this. Do you see how important it is for your family to be incorporated into the life of the church? Do you see how important it is, dads, to access your elders, you know, for prayer, for encouragement, for nurture? We're the body of Christ. God has something to say. His word has something to say to moms and dads. Young people, do you see how important it is for you to be here in worship and to learn with your moms and dads the offering of this liturgy? Because we're discipling one another. It's the head of the week. It's the head of the week. Where do we get encouragement? Where do we get fed? Where do we get strengthened? Where do we learn skills? Where do we model that for each other? Where do we help one another? Where do we pray for each other? We have our hard hats on. We have our tool belts on. We're here to work. And we're here to be equipped and to enter into God's rest, because that's how we are transformed. It's the renewal that takes place in worship based upon the Word. And God equips. We need to recover these three aspects. And you see, we typically downplay the high charge because the world infects us there. We typically think, I've got to be strong as a parent. No, we need the gospel. We need Jesus. And we have to be able to model that to each other. So as elders, as pastors, we come along our parents and say, I'm with you, but let me just hold your hand. Let's just pray right now. Let's pray. And they're in their home. We pray with them. We help them. We say we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. He promises, and I would say uniquely with our boys and girls, they are His own in baptism. We walk with them. We expect that He's going to meet us there and nurture those boys and girls right along with us. And we come to worship and say, Lord, I'm here to offer my body. With your people at Trinity, I'm here to offer my body. I'm here to offer and gladly bring your praise, because I know I'm here to do work. I'm here to be equipped. I'm here to be reminded that this is the head of the week, and what we do here sets the pace for what's going on in my home the rest of the week. So every aspect. That's why worship needs to be recovered. And a consciousness about why we're here and how that equips us. You can plug in the rest. It doesn't matter. If you're working on respect in the home, let's work on respect. It's where it starts. You see, and when we downplay worship, gender, we're doing gender roles today. Moms and dads in the home, your roles. Why do we have men leading us, ordained and leading us? Because God's appointed that. We get ladies here. What kind of discipleship training do we have then? You see, that's where we go. This sets the pace. And it's the same for our parent. In Matthew 25, a few words, it's a great parable then to give more narrow focus about our stewardship. Matthew 25, our stewardship. As parents, we have a stewardship, great lessons. Verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. The one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things, I make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also,
he also had received 2 talents. Came and said, Lord, have you delivered to me 2 talents? Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides him. His Lord said, well done, good servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have it, it's yours. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to deposit my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he who has will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast him into the servant of the outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I oftentimes use this parable in terms of the parents being expressive here, standing in the place of the Lord. But that's good. Well, go back to the 5th commandment, verse 4 commandments. God is the Lord. Vertical. God's word commandments. Parents mediate the Lord, the last 6 commandments. Horizontal. So parents standing in the place of the Lord. Notice, parents, great truths here that there's a dispensing of the talents, probably money. We have that in verse 18. It's identified for us as money. Money's a great place to start with our boys and girls, our children. But also, we spread on out gifts, talents, mental faculties, physical faculties, abilities, all kinds of endowments, all kinds of gifts. You, as a Lord, standing there to be the parent. At verse 15, each gave each according to his own ability. We are to live with our children with understanding. But notice the great focus of the parable is on work. It's on investing. It's on doing. It's on activity. Someone said, if the parable of the virgins, there's a head in 25, if the parable of the virgins is on waiting, this one is on working. That is well in this area of children. Now, I'm going to have to replace this a little bit. Children are to be trained in their skills. This is from yesterday's seminar now. Children are to be trained in their skills. Let's involve them. Let's raise them up in training. Let's go to our expectations about them. So those of you that have the basics of the rules on the refrigerator, great. Those of you that have the basics about helping your children learn how to clean up their room, great. Of course, that is to then move along and elevate in greater responsibilities as children get older. But it says here, the Lord gave to each according to his own ability. So as parents, we cannot be speakers only. We have to be showers. And we have to do it with them, folks, as well. And then we have to be releasers. Your turn to do it now, son or daughter. He gave to each his own ability. That was verse 15. Verse 19, there is the setting of accounts. Accountability, of course, is important. Training with accountability. The whole opening of the book of Proverbs. Train. Teach, open the word, pray with our children, hold them accountable, the discipline of the rod, all important here. But then words well spoken, verses 21 and 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Our kids need encouragement. Constant encouragement. That hug on the shoulder, you know, that embrace, sweet. They need to see and hear and know that we're with them. And we're walking with them. Well done, son. Great job on that yard you mowed last night. We need to tell our boys, our sons. Great job. They need to hear. Then the principle that being faithful with a few things. High school students here right now, high school students. Why does your mom and dad look for you to be faithful in the little dink things? Because that's where the trust is built. So, when you say, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be home 10:30. I'm not 10:31. And not 10:29. I'm going to make it home at 10:30. Now, you might say, that's so little, Dad. You know me. I'll get home at 10:30. 10:30 is a little thing. When you're faithful in the little things, Dad is willing to sit down with you. See, and you say, well, Dad, tonight I'd like to go down five houses down the neighborhood. They're going to be showing a movie in the house. Ooh. Time out now. He's got to do. What's the movie? Tell me about it. Do we have any reviews online I can read? I do that all the time, every week almost. All these kinds of things.
a greater thing to go down five doors down to the neighbor here. Well,
son, you said 2 weeks ago you were going to be home at 10:30. I'm not sure I can trust you with something bigger.
Do you see the principle here? It's the trust back. I know I'm being silly. But I'm with you guys. I mean, as a dad, I'm with you. These are the kind of things that dads walk around. Moms walk around these things. You're faithful. As you're faithful in little things, I will entrust you with more. That's why washing the dishes, taking the trash out, doing the yard, trimming the trees, getting home on time, saying you're going to be where you're going to be, all the basics, as those things are being put in place and you're walking in those things, mom and dad say, we salute you. Go, yeah, you want to go to Brazil next? Low fives, go to Brazil. The bigger things are fine, you see. Why? Because there's been the trust built up through the household. So the dads and moms are here and you have little guys. This is the principle that you need to be working in. And I teach this parable to my kids. They know this parable. And we cite these kinds of references. That faithful in the few things enables dad and mom to say, we trust you. We praise the Lord that he's giving you godliness and health and you're following through. And so then we then have a greater freedom and a greater responsibility. The last thing I'll say about the wicked servant in terms of the Lord. Notice he thinks. He thinks the Lord is hard. The Lord is unpredictable. He thinks the Lord is one who's harsh. We need that. First of all, it's a call to us as parents to be walking with the Lord. It's a call to our own character. Not to be unpredictable. It's in the sense of, okay, we're not God. He's the sovereign one. But it's an echo to us. It does echo down to us. We need to hold fast to Jesus Christ with our words and our character and our actions. We need to be faithful, not inconsistent with our decisions. It is at least an echo about our own character. I don't want to trace this out too far, but I wouldn't doubt possibly that this parable is directed by Israel as a nation. She had so much, and she went and hid it all. And particularly, maybe Israel was faced with the Jonah syndrome. What do you mean? You're the God who sows the word with the Gentiles, the Ninevites? We're not going to serve you, Lord. We're only going to love those whom we know you really told us already you love. That's Jonah's problem. And so Jonah's second guess, and he runs and he hides. He runs and he hides his talent, his responsibility. Great. That may have been but coming back to the matter of character, God has his ways, and we're called to be students, to invest and take part, children, young people that are here, to use what God and what your parents entrust to you and be faithful in that. Certainly there are the consequences that come from you. Okay. I've gone over about 4 or 5 minutes here, but we'll stop there for our fellowship time. Let me close our time. Father, you have given us the charge to be the father, Mother, that we might cling to you in this endeavor. Help us, we pray. We give you thanks for our children, the blessing of the Lord as they are. We praise you, Holy God. Give us strength, give us wisdom, and help us in our training, and that all would be for your honor and your glory. Prepare us even as we worship you, our great God, in the hour to come. We thank you that Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is the one who is our master. He's the one who is our servant. He has come to give his life for us. And we live in and through him, all according to faith. Lord, hear us. And it's in Christ's name we pray.
taking a break from Sunday school in August, but let's come next week. Mark won't be with us, but let's come prepared to ask some questions and continue to unpack the passages that Mark touched on lightly this morning. Thank you, Mark.